Hi, Marty Lurie here, KNBR 680, with the philosopher, as we like to call him, Javier Lopez. Javi, Friday night's game is number 62 for me. That means there's 100 to go, and I'm good at math. If you have 35 wins or 36 wins, you want to get to 90, you got to win 55 or 54, and that's 540 or 550. I like game 62. Do you have any markers during the season?
Well, I think obviously you go early with the quarter pole. You want to see where you're at. 62, knowing that there's 100 yet left, that's always a good number. Again, I think I subscribe to the philosophy of going 16 a month, try to get those wins. That's going to get you to 96 wins. That's going to, most of the time, that's going to put you in the playoffs at some point, either winning your division or making a wild card spot. So I think that's the general focus for the club, is just get to 16 wins a month, and then good things happen after that.
All right. Learned something from Javier Lopez, the philosopher. 16 wins a month. All right. I could work with that. The ball club has a new player on it from the University of Virginia. Big star at Virginia as well, Jarrett Parker.
Yeah, Jarrett Parker. It's nice to get him to AT&T Park. Obviously, he's been to the big leagues twice now for us, and it's both trips have been to Citi Field. The guy's got plenty of power. He's shown it in spring training. I think that's about all the position players here have seen, is a spring training pop, and we're excited to actually see it show itself at the big league level now.
You know, over the weekend, last weekend, it kind of hit me. You know, these epiphanies happened to me on the show. And I said, you turn into the Kansas City Royals. You're a team that can hit the ball pretty well. You got good solid defense. You got a lights out bullpen, and you're getting some power arms in the bullpen and some guys who know how to get outs. That's what the Royals did, and they won a pennant that way. You see that at all?
I think that's why last year's World Series was so intriguing. I know obviously all the talk was about their bullpen and the arms that they had last year, but I thought we matched up very well, and we proved it. I think it's obviously a great recipe that most clubs are trying to mimic, and you would be wrong if you weren't trying to do those kind of things. Obviously, they have more power arms than we do, but at the end of the day, it's about getting outs. Obviously, punch outs are needed in certain situations, but getting outs without putting guys on base is more important.
Well, you turn it into a six-inning game, and if you have one stud who could go seven or eight, maybe another guy who goes six, and then a couple who go five and two-thirds, and you have the bullpen to pick it up, you can win that way, and I sort of see that coming.
Yeah, I think so. Obviously, we have Bumgarner going pretty deep in ball games, but even that, you know, we need a couple guys just to get going, and I think guys are ready to do that. We have guys that are on the cusp every once in a while, and Heston's been throwing the ball great. Obviously, when you have a sinker ballers go deep in ball games when they're throwing strikes, and he's proven that. He's been the poster child for that. When he's working behind in the count and the ball's up in the zone, he's had some trouble, but when he's out there executing and working ahead in the count, he's a contact pitcher, and he goes and he throws a complete game no-hitter. So you've seen it. We've seen it. It's just a matter of getting more than one turn through the rotation. We need maybe a couple weeks of guys getting hot, and I've seen it from these guys before, and I'm sure Bogey's already excited about tomorrow, and Bum's excited about tonight, and that's what you want, the excitement when those guys get the ball.
All right, Javier Lopez with us, the philosopher. All right, you mentioned a no-hitter. How many have you been through? Do you ever count them up, how many you've seen, and maybe the most exciting one, or how does this one rate?
I think obviously the perfect game is the biggest one for me. It's the only one I've ever witnessed. But this is number, quick count would be six, I think. Five, I believe it was five. I had two in Boston with John Lester, and Clay Buchholz was the only other rookie I saw throw one against the Baltimore Orioles. And then obviously here I missed out on Johnny Sanchez in 2009, but I've been here for the last four with Timmy, especially doing two against the Padres. That's pretty special. So, you know, I guess you get kind of spoiled, I guess, in a sense. You know, we've had one for the last 4 years, but anytime you get a chance to see a perfect game, there's only so many of those that have happened. So Matt Cain still takes the cake.
Yeah, he does. Boy, Javier Lopez with us. Do you subscribe to the theory, leave the pitcher alone and let him, just sit on the bench by himself and all that stuff?
It works out easy for us in the bullpen most of the time. That we don't have to worry about that. But, yes, I do. You know, obviously with Cain's perfect game happening here at AT&T Park, you kind of stay in your own little niche wherever you might be. Mine was on top of down by the dugout here, down by the coaching staff, keeping score. So, I made sure I stuck to that. And even in the bullpen, we'll do the same thing. Whatever you've been doing, you continue to do it. We did it with Chris Heston. We were doing it last night with Linscombe for a while there as well, staying in the same spots.
What do you do for Heston? You mean you sit in the same spot?
Yeah, pretty much. Obviously we keep the – in New York, there's an air-conditioned little bullpen spot as well as outdoor. So if you didn't start the game on the inside and it was hot, too bad. You got to go sit back outside till things changed. And I share the book with Mark Gardner. He does the pitching side, and I'll do our offense. You know, we kept it up for the entire game.
Now, tell me about that. When you say share the book, is that keeping score?
Yeah, that's keeping score. You know, obviously, it's just something to pass the time for us. But we kind of have a little rally thing, and we pass it around. And you know, if I go scoreless for three innings, I'll hand it to somebody else. I get delegated that responsibility, and it's been fun. It's just something to kind of keep us all interactive and talking, and trying to stay in the ball game as best you can.
Boy, very good, Javier Lopez, the philosopher. You learned so much baseball from him. Did you keep score as a kid? And if you did, how did you learn how to do it?
I did not keep score as a kid, actually. I learned from a high school coach of mine that was actually, I watched him do it, and I was always intrigued as to how they, what those numbers exactly meant. And I don't think I would get, I think I'd have a passing grade. I'm not sure if I'm as detailed as you need to be an official scorer, but obviously I side on the side of our team, whether it's offensively or definitely on the pitcher's side. Everything questionable is going to be an error for the most part. But, you know, it's something, again, that I just enjoy, and it's something I'll look forward to passing along. And, you know, it keeps me in a ball game where a lot of times we're joking around and you kind of lose track of who's coming up and who's doing what. And when I get to keep the book, I get to pay attention to those things.
Well, your inherited runners took a little bit of a hit last Sunday, you know, and I'm keeping track of this on the show, you know, and I think it was 24 out of 25, now maybe 24 out of 27, maybe better, because I think you did against the Mets, you got, I think, a double play there. So what happened on Sunday against the Phillies?
Well, obviously, they pinch hit Jeff Francoeur. I've known Frenchie for a while now, and I actually had him, obviously, here as a former teammate, yeah. So... the problem there was just execution on my part. No lack of aggressiveness, anything like that. I just made a mistake on a changeup. He's a free swinger. He's always been a free swinger, and I threw it into his free swinging path, and he made me pay. And that's an unfortunate thing. Ivogi had pitched a great game up till then, and that's a tough one for me to let up any runs. I mean, obviously, I take inherited runners as a source of pride, and to have that happen was tough, but. You know, it's all about quick memories and quick forgets, and that's one of those where you just move on. And obviously came in last night, a couple guys on base and nobody out, and got a double play, so stranded two there. So I'm hoping it just kind of keeps rolling again.
Yeah, I think you're like, you've only let three in the whole year, I think. If my math is right, I'll look at my scorecard again. All right, you guys got in late last night, and look, you're a veteran, you've been around a long time. Night game in New York, and then you have to fly in early in the morning, a night game, Friday night. Is this the way it's got to be?
Well, we have no choice, right? Obviously, it's what was scheduled. I think if we could do it again... You know, looking back on this season, I think you'd want to have that day game when you have to fly 6 hours. I know we get three back on the bird, but you're still rolling into five in the morning. I don't care who you are. That's not fun. But you know, obviously, I guess it's part of winning. That's what happens. And when you got a good ball club, people are going to want to watch you. And I think that's part of the Giants. And we got a little test drive last night. And you know, we have to do it again in Washington and after 4th of July, 11 o'clock in the morning game, and then we have almost a full day off because we're going to have that night game and then have to fly back and play here. So, you know, it is what it is. I don't think anybody enjoys it, but ultimately, you know, we have better travel than most people. So, you know, you try to get some rest and do what you can, and I think a lot of guys are actually ready to play today.
Okay. All right. Now, Washington, you mentioned that, and what was the trip to the White House like for you?
It was great. Obviously, anytime you get a chance to do that, you know you're doing some special things. This is my fourth trip to the White House. It's my third one with President Obama, and I think the special thing about this one is that we actually had a little time to chit-chat with him. Every other time, as presidents normally do, keep a tight schedule, and this time it was just he took about 10 minutes to walk around the room and be very engaging with everybody, and that was great. And you know, again, it's something that I hope everybody has a chance. If you ever go to Washington, D.C., go ahead and take the trips. Go to all the monuments. Go to Capitol Hill. Go see your congressman. I mean, these are things that you pay for. You might as well take a peek at.
Yeah, if you can get in. It's
exactly
always tough
right.
to do that. What did he say to you?
Nothing too exciting. I was actually, I just told him this time I didn't get tongue-tied when I met him. The first time I did. This time I say, hey, Mr. President, Javi Lopez, pleasure meeting you again. And he's like, how many times is this? And I told him, you know, this is number three. So it's exciting. But again, you know, it's something that I cherish. I'd grown up in that area. I took for granted checking that out. But, you know, it's something to looking back on. I'll get that picture. We'll get that picture sent to us at some point, and it's just going to be yet another memory in a Giants uniform.
All right, Javier Lopez, the philosopher. How's the team doing? We talk every couple of weeks now, and how's it coming? Boy, I'll tell you, the top of the order, boy, these guys hit.
Yeah, I think the offense is coming through. You know, one thing that you're really noticing is the Matt Duffy playing third base. He's picking it up. He's obviously looking every day. He's looking more and more comfortable out there, and that's exciting to see. And he's one thing that hasn't failed him is his bat. He's been able to continue it. He's been around for a little bit now, and people have scouting reports, but he's still able to make his adjustments and you really drive the ball to the opposite field. He hit two opposite field homers during this road trip, and Panic has been great. He's been as advertised. You know, he's been the perfect spot for the two-hole for us, and Aoki's been on fire. And, you know, anytime you're setting the table, good things are going to happen, and our power guys are coming through in the middle of the order and coming in with some big RBIs, belt swinging. You know, when he's swinging, it's a damaging bat, and he's going opposite field too. He's hitting himself out of the shift, which is kind of nice. I think it's going to open up some more holes for him. And you know, I think beyond that, I think one thing you really see is the youthfulness in the infield.
Yeah.
And not only the four that are playing the infield, but the catcher as well, and Buster and Susak. You know, they got some guys that can, you know, that I think the Giants are going to want to build around, and it's exciting to kind of watch that as I'm moving on later on in my career to be able to see, you know, what it would have been like to maybe have a Robbie Thompson and Matt Williams and Will Clark in a young infield kind of grow up together.
Good knowledge. Very good knowledge. You a history fan of baseball?
Well, I try to be, but, you know, I when you're in this, when you wear the black and orange, you kind of pay attention to the people before you and leave the lasting legacies that they've left, and you try to pick up on some of those things. And, you know, when you can't help but reminisce on an infield like that, especially when you see him coaching now, and you get Will coming in, every celebrity coach every once in a while, you got to ask him those questions.
All right, one last thought. Chris Heston pitches a no-hitter. You ever hear of Johnny Vandermeer?
Of course, yeah. He went two. He's the only guy to ever do two. Johnny on the spot. Everybody hopes for it. I know I've done it the last 4 years. I've wanted to see the guy go back out there and do it again. So everybody would be rooting for him to do that. I think Burley probably got as close as you can get after his perfect game. But, yeah, I would take Johnny Vandermeer anytime.
Yeah, I told him about Yul Blackwell, the whip, 1947. No-hitter, second game. 8 1/3. Eddie Stanky hit a ground ball through his legs for a base hit.
Good old Eddie Stanky. Eddie Stanky doing what he did.
That.
Yeah. You know what?
Come on.
Yeah, those things are special. Anytime you get those moments, I think this is he's a kid with lots of talent. Like I said before, it's all about just when he's working ahead in the count, he can be just as nasty as anybody, and it doesn't matter how hard you throw. It's how much the ball's moving and how effective you can be.
All right. Nice to have you on, as always. You got me on that, Johnny Vandermeer. Very good.
Yeah.
Yeah, very good. Very good.
I pay attention. It was a game under the lights. You know, the lights might have been bad, but who knows? I don't care. It's still a no-hitter. We'll take it.
It was the first game under the lights for Cincinnati.
That's exactly right.
Very good. Ah, very good. Boy, you got me on that, too. All right. The philosopher. Thanks, Javier.
You're welcome. Anytime, Marty.
Very good. More coming up on KMBR 680, the sports leader.